Can I take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5? John chapter 5. Last week we covered the first half of this chapter. Tonight we will cover the second half. So last week we went through verses 1 through 23 about seeing Christ. And Christ sees you, but do you see Him? Do you see Him as God? That is the purpose of God's gospel, is that we see the deity of Christ at this time. In verses 1 and 2, we see that the path of Christ is directed by God's Word. It just so happened He came through the sheep gate, the gate where sacrifices were bought. It just so happened He came by the pool of Bethesda. It just so happened there was a person there. You know, God is directed by God. And so, He was directed by God's Word, directed for mankind's need. Whether or not mankind knows it or not, they need God. We all need God, amen? We all need God. So He comes to the pool at Bethesda, and we see that there's people that needed God's grace. It said there's five porches. All these people are laying around that have illnesses. They have something that's bothering them. And then they were waiting for God's grace, waiting for a sign, waiting for the rippling of the water, for the angel to come down. But they were all looking to get in there first because it was only one. God's grace up to this point was limited. Okay? Christ gives grace to everyone. We can all experience God's grace. They wanted God's grace. This man had laid there for 38 years. Christ asked him, "You want to make hope? Be made hope?" Well, kind of a dumb question. You know, some people suffer just for the sake of suffering. They just give up hope. There's a giant in their life, and they just can't get rid of that. And then he talks about the composition. He says, "I can't get there. No one's going to help me to get in there. And someone always beats me to the water." So here we have the people at Bethesda, and then we see the power of Christ to cure the lame. He didn't do anything magic. He said, "Get up and walk. Pick up your bed and walk." And the Creator God can do that. And He did. On the way, the guy said, "Why are you carrying your bed? There's no rule against that." And then there was this big discussion over, "Who told you to do that?" He said, "I don't know what his name was. He just told me to get up and walk and take my bed. So I'm doing it." And then he finds him in the temple, knows it's Jesus, points him out. And what does Jesus say to this man that was cured? "Go and sin no more." Folks, when we meet Christ, He changes us. We need to stay changed. Don't go back the way you were. You want to go laying on the porch again, being invalid, can't move, can't do anything, paralyzed by sin? No, we shouldn't be that at all. So tonight, we're going to look at the witness of Christ. This is probably what I think is one of the premier things on the deity of Christ in His mission here. And so Christ is testifying of His deity. So there's three major points tonight. In verses 24 through 30, we see Christ talk about His commission. Why was Christ sent to earth? He was sent to go to the cross. Why was He sent to go to the cross? To be the sacrifice for our sins. Why is He a sacrifice for our sins? So we can be justified in front of God. And why did He raise from the dead? That we can have newness of life and that we can have a home in heaven. So, in verse 24, we see five conditions of everlasting life. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Let's put this back into context. The man was healed on the Sabbath day. He was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, "That's okay to do it." The legalists have said, "No." Jesus is now talking to them in the temple. Here is the life of God, the Word of God in the flesh, talking to them, and they need to listen, but they don't. Tonight we need to listen to God's Word. Don't tune Christ out. So here we see in this verse five conditions of everlasting life. First of all, you must hear the word. It says, he that heareth my word. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. It's one thing to hear something, it's another thing to believe it. You've got to transfer your trust, what you were holding on to get to heaven, and give it all to Jesus. It says here, believeth on him that sent me. Well, they're one and the same, God. One and the same. And then the next thing is that has everlasting life. It's not something you work for. You have it right then. Have everlasting life is present tense. So if we die right now, we go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And shall not come into what? Condemnation. Because his sin has been judged. He is justified. Christ looked, God looked, the Father looks down on us, those that are saved, and he sees the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, covering our sins, and we have right standing with God. And then the last thing is, but it's passed from death unto life, has been quickened, changed from a dead state into a living state. You could preach on this for an hour. But we're going to move on. Okay? We're going to move on. So, these five things are the condition of everlasting life. In verses 25 through 30, Christ talks about the certainty of future resurrection. The certainty of future resurrection. Verses 25 and 26, he's going to say that he is the resurrection of the spiritually dead. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, verily, verily means you really need to listen. Truly, truly, I'm repeating myself. You need to listen to this. It's truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is what? Coming. And what? Now lives. So, what you're seeing now is just a prelude of what's coming. What's coming? The cross is coming. The cross is coming. And what is now? What they're at right now. They're standing before the Holy God. The Redeemer of the world, if they so choose it. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Wait a second. He's not talking about physically dead people. He's talking about spiritually dead people. Christ is not concerned about your body as much as he's concerned about your soul. What shall a man gain if he lose the whole world? If he gain the whole world and lose his soul. The soul is the most important thing. It says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have what? Life in himself. Christ is talking to the spiritually dead, but living physically. He was talking to the spiritually dead, but living physically with Nicodemus. He was talking to the spiritually dead, but living physically to the Samaritan woman. It's the same message. Over and over and over again, we see the same message. In John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, Lazarus is dead. Remember what Mary and Martha said, hey, if you got here sooner, he would not have died. But Christ wanted to prove a point. So he asked Martha this question. He says, he's going to raise again. He's going to raise again. And Martha said, yeah, I understand that. Then Christ says this. Jesus said unto her, I am present tense. The resurrection and what? Life. He that believeth in me, though he were what? Dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, we're not talking about a physical death. We're talking about a spiritual death, and a spiritual death is eternal separation from God. That will never happen if you believe in it. If you hear His word, believe it, you get everlasting life, your sins have been judged, and you've been quickened. You've had a change of state. So, Christ, He says, never die. And then He asks the question, believest thou this? It's a choice. We have the choice to believe this. So, Christ is a resurrection of the spiritually dead. You can't be made spiritually alive by your good works. You can't be made spiritually alive by some sort of religion. You can't be made spiritually alive by just thinking. I've been seeing the Elkana commercial back. Now, if you sustain yourself to God, and the 1-800 number is 1-800-LOVE-GOD. It's the secret of ancient wisdom. No, it isn't. It's the secret of mysticism. And that's tough. You can't think your way. You can't be good enough. You're spiritually dead. What does Christ say? What did Christ say to Nicodemus? So if you don't believe not, he that believe not have the what? Wrath of God abiding? Present tense on him already. So, verse 27. Christ is the judge. Christ is the judge. In this verse it says, and have given him authority. This is the exact same word that's used in Matthew 28. All power and all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 1 Corinthians 15. All authorities will be given unto Christ. He says here, it says, have given him authority. Okay? To execute judgment also. Who's the him? God the Father. Who's the recipient? Because he is the what? Son of man. God the Son. So who's going to be the judge of everybody? Christ is. Christ is. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he, which was ordained of God, to be the what? Judge of the quick, the living, spiritually, and the dead, spiritually. Everyone will get judged. So Christ is the resurrection of the spiritually dead. Christ is the judge. Then in verses 28 through 29, we see the consequences of the resurrection. First of all, in verse 28, all will hear. All will hear, all will see about Christ. Verse 28, marvel not at this, but the hour is what? Coming. He doesn't say now is. So now what's he talking about? In which that all that are in the graves shall what? Here's what. Clearly, he's now talking about the resurrection of the dead. But he goes further because, folks, there's two resurrections of the dead. And Christ is going to talk about it right here. There's a lot of doctrine in here tonight. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, why does this have to happen? Because that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things of in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that not every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will have to realize and have to admit. And if you're an atheist, you won't be an atheist here. Because you're going to be standing in front of the holy God as He's judging you. To the glory of God the Father. So the certainty of future resurrection. He's the resurrection of the spiritually dead. Why do you need to go through this? God's the judge. When's the judgment? At the resurrection of the physical bodies. Verse 29. There are two resurrections determined. There is no such thing as soul sleep. There is no such thing as you just bleep out of existence when you die. There is eternity beyond the grave. beyond your point of death. And verse 29, and shall come forth. What did he say in verse 28? Marvel not at us, for the hour is what? Coming. That all which are in what? The graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The first one he talks about is the resurrection of life. That's a two-part thing. There's the rapture, where all those that have been dead, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, those that they get resurrected. There's another one for the tribulation saints. Now, before we go down this road, let's talk about this verse here. They that have done good. No, not do good works to get to heaven. They who have believed in the good work of Christ. That's it right there. Someone says, see, you got to do good. Well, if you're saved, you will do good. But you can't do good to get saved. Okay? So that's the point here. You can look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. I'm not going to go there. We've heard that. We know what that is. Okay? That's the encouragement that those who are dead before the rapture will be resurrected. Those who are alive will be physically changed. And we talked about that, that at that instant in time, you physically die because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Done. Turn over Revelation chapter 20. I'm not going to have it up on the screen. I've got it here tonight. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 6. It says, and I saw thrones, and they had sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Christ. Now, when does that happen? It happens in the tribulation period. And which did not worship the beast. When did that happen? Tribulation period. Neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the what? First resurrection. It's the resurrection of life. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But don't tell me that there's not 1,000-year millennium kingdom on the earth. It's right there. It's right there. That is the resurrection to life. Those that have accepted the good of Christ. Two parts: rapture, tribulation saints. Because we're all one in Christ. We're all one in Christ. Now, secondly, there's a resurrection of damnation. Okay? That word for damnation is also the same word that's used for judgment. Okay? It's appointed unto once for one. What? It's appointed a man once to die, and after this the what? Judgment. Okay? But this is the great white throne judgment. So here's how this happens. When you die without Christ, you go to hell. Okay? That's a place of torment. We know. It says so in Luke 16. Place of torment. And they're staying there. And so, while the tribulation period is on, they're there. While the 1,000-year reign is on, they're there. While the first resurrection occurs, they're still there in hell. That's bad enough. But then, there's something worse. There's the great white throne judgment. Believers will not go through the great white throne judgment. These are all for unbelievers. Verse 11 of chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne. Now, what's the second record? Resurrection unto damnation. Okay? And him that sat on it. When does this happen? At the end of the 1,000 years. from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's no room to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There is degrees of punishment in hell. Hitler will have a much worse punishment than those who are moral but still lost. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were what? Judged, every man, according to their works. By who? By Christ. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. Born once, you die twice. You die a physical death, you go to hell, then you die a second death as a great white throne judgment, and you spend eternity in the lake of fire. Born twice, die once. Born physically, born again, you die a physical death, and that's fixed in the resurrection of life. You can preach on this for an hour and a half, but we're not going to do it. Okay? We're not going to do it. So we see here, the third point is that we see the consequences of resurrection, that there's two resurrections determined. Lastly, why? Because it's commanded by God. In verse 30, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Don't you dare say that God is ever unfair. He is just. He's righteous. There is no shadow of veritas attorney in Him. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So here we see the conclusion of the commission of Christ. Now the next two points go fairly quickly. In verses 31 to 39, verses 31 through 39, we see the confirmation of Christ's witness. Now, go back to the Old Testament rules. So when you were being judged for something, you had to have two or three witnesses. You couldn't just stand up in court by yourself and have one witness and be tried. You couldn't be sent to death for that, but your case would be heard because you only have one witness. So about what you say. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says this, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinned. At the mouth of what? Two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. We actually have, in this passage here, we actually have four witnesses about the testimony of Christ. There's four witnesses here. The first one is found in verses 31 through 32. And the confirmation of Christ's witness is confirmed by God the Father. He says, and Christ is using the Scripture. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is what? Not true. That's not the way the Bible works. God's going to do everything consistent with God's Word. Consistent with God's will. There is another that beareth witness me, and I know that that witness which he witnesses of me is true. That's God the Father. But here's the point. God the Son and God the Father are one. They're one. So, confirmed by God the Father. Know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Secondly, in verses 33 through 35, it's confirmed by John the Baptist. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the what? Truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There is one coming after me who's mightier than me. He's the one. He says, I'm the one crying in the wilderness. He's the one that's going to be the judge. But I receive not testimony from man. And what Christ is saying, he says, even if John the Baptist didn't say it, it doesn't mean anything. I'm still God. I'm still Christ. But these things I say, that what? Ye might be saved. What is Christ's purpose? What's his commission? To bring the resurrection of the spiritual dead. To quicken them. He was a burning and shining light. And you were willing to listen to him until you got tired. Really? That's kind of what it's meaning here. He was a burning, shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice. And it's like, here's something new. But then when they heard the new thing, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders figured out that they were going to have to change, they said, nope. Not me. I'm kind of comfortable the way I am. I'm good the way I am. And so we have the witness of God the Father. We have the witness of John the Baptist. We have the witness of Christ's works. Works that only God could do. In verse 36 it says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the what? Works which the Father had given me to finish, the same what? Works that I do. What works? To heal the broken heart, to preach liberty to captives, to do all those things that were prophesied in Isaiah. And there's going to be a greater work. I'm going to the cross for you. I'm going to resurrect for you. I'm going to forgive your sins by grace and mercy. Great works that I bear witness of me, that the what? That the Father has sent me. What's the criticism? The criticism, he's doing these works by the power of Satan. He's doing these works, but he's breaking the Sabbath law. Whoa. Confirmed by God the Father. Confirmed by John the Baptist. Confirmed by the works. Then, confirmed by the Scriptures themselves. In verses 37 through 39. And now, Christ gets a little bit pointed and sarcastic. Verse 37, it says, this is the voice that you do not hear. You're not listening. You're not listening. Verse 37, and the Father himself, which has sent me, have borne witness of me. Ye have what? Neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have no concept about the message of God. You have no concept about the plan of God. You have no concept about the will of God. Because you read the Scriptures and they speak to you and you ignore it. Folks, tonight, when God's Word speaks to you, do not ignore it. Do not ignore it. The voice you do not hear. The verses that you do not heed. In verses 39 through 37, or 38 to 39, and ye have not his what? Word abiding in you. You read it. You put it up here, but it's not down here. It didn't change your life. For whom he has sent, him ye believe what? Not. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the scene in the temple where Christ is just laying on the line to all these? Now, 39 can be taken two ways. Could be taken as command, or could be taken as what you have done. Regardless of what it is, you put the word you. Let's look at it this way tonight. What Pharisees and the scribes pride themselves on, knowing the word of God backwards and forwards. Okay? So Christ said, you're searching the scriptures. You know the scriptures. You know everything. For in them you think ye have eternal life. Oh, keeping that law, tithing and mint and coming, and all this other stuff. Oh, doing all these sacrifices. Oh, going to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Oh, going and worshiping in the temple on the Sabbath day. Oh, going and making sure the Sabbath is a day of rest. You think that's going to get you to heaven. It's not. You're missing it entirely. You're missing the picture of the Passover lamb. You're missing the picture of the blood of the covenant. You're missing the picture of the water of purification. You're missing the picture of the tabernacle in the wilderness. You're missing the message of Isaiah. You're missing the message of Jeremiah. You're missing the message of David. You're missing the prophecy. You're missing it all. You read the Bible and you don't understand because you don't want to. And they are which testify of me. You can't look at this and not get fired up, folks. So it's confirmed by God the Father. It's confirmed by John the Baptist. It's confirmed by the works. It's confirmed by the scriptures. But the conflict with Christ by the religious, not by the righteous, but by the religious. See, religion conflicts, it's diametrically opposed with God. Religion is what I do. Salvation is what God did. Verse 40, he's talking to the religious leaders, remember. Your decision is hell. And ye will not come to me that ye might have what? Life. The absolute refusal is sitting right in front of you. But you'd rather be laying out there on that porch paralyzed in your religion than picking up your bed and walking. Think about it. Think about what happened at Bethesda. And now think about what's happening. Your denial is hatred. Because you do not have the love of God. Verses 41 through 42, I receive not honor from men. What did Christ pray to God the Father? Glorify thy Son. And I'll glorify you. But I know you, that ye have not the what? The love of God in you. And if you don't love God, you hate him. If you're not the friend of God, you are enemy of God. It's this black and white. Your denial, your decision is hell. Your denial is hatred because you do not have the love of God. Your denial is hatred because you'll believe anyone else except me. Verses 43 through 44 says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you'll receive. There it is right there. You'll believe anyone else but me. You'll try to find any other way but my way. Why is the path to destruction? How can you believe which receive honor? All they want to do is pat themselves on the back and tell everybody how good they are. And they're lost and destitute and depraved and on their way to hell. And seek not the what? The honor that cometh from God alone. Christ is saying, what is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? You're wrapped up in the Sabbath law thing. You're wrapped up in doing your own thing. You know the scriptures, and you see them fulfilled in front of your eyes, but you don't hear it. Because you don't want to, man. Because it's not who you think it should be. You don't think that I'm who I need to be. You don't even believe Moses. So it comes full circle now. He says, you search the scripture. They speak of me. Folks, the Old Testament talks about Christ. That's why it's there. The New Testament talks about Christ. You can't get to the New Testament unless you know the Old. Verse 45 to 47. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that's going to accuse you. That dude that you're trusting in right now, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? What a tremendous passage about the deity of Christ. What a tremendous message about the ministry of Christ. Ministry. Wow. The conflict of Christ by the religious. I'll close with this. Remember after Christ was risen, and there's these two dudes that are walking along the road to Emmaus. Christ comes up, they don't recognize who he is. And they're all sad and everything else. They say, this is the third day. It hasn't happened yet. Christ starts talking to them. Luke 24, verse 27. He says, and beginning at Moses and all the what? Prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things what? Concerning himself. Don't be blind to this. Don't play around with salvation. Don't think you can fake it. You can't. You know right now if you are or not. You can't fake loving God either. You either love him or you don't. And if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. If you love him, you're going to do his word. If you love him, you're going to praise him. If you love him, you're going to keep his will. If you love him, you're going to do all these things. You're going to love one another. Do all these things. Christ is God. End of story. End of message. Christ is God. Is he God for you? Only you know that. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask that you, this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts. Father, help us, Lord, to follow you. Lord, help us to acknowledge you as God, and that we would follow you, Lord, for salvation. We would follow you, Lord, out of obedience and out of love. We give you this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name.